sermons on Sunday mornings. But we're going to go to Exodus 32, and we're going to look at the first eight verses together. So we're in Exodus chapter 32. We're going to start in verse 1. We're going to read down to verse number 8. We're calling this message this morning, Give Your Idols Up. Give your idols up. So I'm going to ask you if you can, if you'll stand with me. We'll stand together for the reading of God's Word. And then by our custom, we'll read these verses responsibly. That means I'll read the first verse, and then you join me on every other verse. We'll go back and forth, starting in verse 1 down to verse number 8, just like that. Exodus chapter 32, and I'll begin reading in verse number 1. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron, and said unto him, Up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings, which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people brake off the golden earrings, which are in their ears, and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand, and fashioned it with a graving tool, after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early on the morrow, and offered burnt offerings, and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and to drink, and rose up to play. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. Together in verse 8. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. We'll look at the account here and try to make some application to our lives as we look at this message. Give your idols up. And let's pray together. Father, I pray now for your help, your empowerment, Lord. And Father, I recognize and I freely admit, publicly admit, Lord, that in my flesh, in my ability, in my wherewithal, Lord, I can accomplish nothing. All I'll say is a bunch of words to a bunch of people, and nothing will happen. It'll just be moments spent together. But, Father, if you show up in a unique, powerful way, lives can change, hearts can change, eternity can change. And so, Father, we look to you this morning, and we ask for these things in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, if I use the word idolatry this morning, if I say this is a text, this account here is about idolatry happening, probably that conjures up certain images in your mind, the word idolatry. For me, when I think of idolatry and idols, I think about as a kid watching Tarzan. And, yes, Tarzan. You know, the guy in the loincloth swinging on the grapevine. Tarzan, that guy. And I grew up. It was on a Saturday morning, I think, usually when it came on. It was always after Bugs Bunny, so it was kind of an afternoon matinee type thing. So my Saturday morning started with Bugs Bunny, and then it evolved into Tarzan. And Ron Ely was the main Tarzan when I was a kid. Before him was Johnny Weissmuller, I believe. He's the guy, I'm told, if you ever watch the old Tarzans, the guy at the top of the waterfall who's diving into the water, that's Johnny Weissmuller. That's a scene of him. He's a famous swimmer. Has nothing to do with the message, but just in case you didn't know that. So anyways, as a kid watching Tarzan, almost every Tarzan was kind of the same. These explorers would come into the jungles of Africa. And the people in the jungles of Africa would capture at least one of the explorers. Usually it was some guy, some British guy with a little monocle there. And he'd bring his daughter, for whatever reason, his 20-year-old daughter. He would bring her along with them, and the natives would capture her, and they're going to sacrifice her to the volcano gods or whatever idol that they're going to do, and somehow Tarzan would be called upon, and he would have to beat his chest and do his Tarzan yell, and all the animals would come with him. He'd ride on the elephant, and all the other monkeys and tigers and lions or whatever would show up, And he would rescue that. He would rescue that person. And they would always be, when he would show up, they're always, you know, beating on the drum and dancing around and doing their whatever they're doing to their idol. And there's some type of idol there that they're all bound down to and worshiping. That's what conjures up in my mind when I think of idolatry. These natives in Africa worshiping this stone or this wooden idol, getting ready to sacrifice this person to it. But there's a lot more to idolatry than that. We tend to think of idolatry as something that happened either way back yonder in old times or way over there in those places. But I'm going to tell you this morning, idolatry is prominent today in people like us, middle class Americans. Idolatry is very prominent among us. I'm going to remind you of something about our text here. In our text, these are not God-hating, God-denying people. They are very religious people with a knowledge of God. Yet they're guilty of this very sin of idolatry. And I think if we understand what idols are and what idolatry is, we may discover this morning that we're more guilty than what we think we are. So I'm going to share with you, I think, three applications from our text that maybe would speak to our hearts about maybe we need to give some idols up as well. Because we know, yeah, those people over there in those lands, they need to give up. But what about us people in this land and our idols? So three things I want to share with you this morning about giving our idols up. What is an idol? Well, go back with me to Exodus 32 and look with me in verse number 1. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron. If you don't know, Aaron and Moses are brothers. Moses is the main leader. Aaron is kind of his assistant, as it were. And he was the high priest, but he assisted Moses in this. And so Moses is on the mountaintop, and the people are like, well, Moses ain't here. Let's go to the number two guy, Aaron. And they said unto him, up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. Now notice verse 2. And Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them unto me. Here's the first thing I want you to notice about this text that helps us understand about idols. Number one is this: an idol is anything given priority over God. That which became an idol, now here's what I want you to notice. That which became an idol is something they already had. They already had the earrings. They already had these golden jewelry. It's not something they went out and got and made into an idol. It's things they already had in their possession. And that which was in their possession becomes an idol. And often what we find is this: things that we possess are not wrong until we put them over the Lord. And then it becomes wrong. So possessing it wasn't the idolatry. Possessing those things was not wrong. What happened was when they promoted those things over God, that's what it, when it became idolatry and became wrong. And so I tell you this morning, an idol is not just some rock or some wooden statue that we worship. Rather, an idol is anything that is given priority or prominence over the Lord. Anything in my life that I put above the Lord now becomes an idol. Not because I hate God or deny God, but because I'm putting something above God, and that becomes an idol, and I'm guilty of idolatry. I want you to notice a couple of verses with me. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says, but seek ye, notice that word there, first. Because people say, well, you know, it really doesn't matter. As long as God's on the list, God's happy. Can I tell you, that may be what you think. That's not what God thinks. That word first, it's an English word. You know what it means? First. It's a very simple word. It means first. You know, I have a slight competitive streak in me. I'm not like some people. I'm pretty laid back most. Really, I'm not. It gets the better of me sometimes. But I had a friend, and he came with this statement, and I like this statement. He said, you know what second place is? First place loser. And ever since then, I never want to be in the second place. I always want to be the first place. I don't want to be first place loser. I want to be first place winner. So first is first. And what God is saying here, you seek first the kingdom of God. Not second, not third, not fourth. It doesn't matter if it's later on your list. It's not in the right place unless it's first. God wants to be first in these things. Let me show you another verse, Matthew 22. Jesus said to him, thou shalt love the Lord with Lord thy God with, what's the next word? All. You know what all means? All. It's exactly what all means. All means all, and that's all that all means. Okay, so he says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This, again, is the first and great commandment. So the Bible tells us what the Lord expects. He expects to be first in our life. He expects to be that thing that we love with all of our heart. We don't share our heart with something else. We don't say, well, I love God, but I also love my money. No, I love the Lord, and the money the Lord gives me, I want to use well, but my love is for the Lord. He's first in my life. So this idol is anything given priority over the Lord. And so I tell you this morning, anything that prevents from God being first in your life is an idol. Anything that keeps you from loving God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind becomes an idol. And that could be a thing. Now watch. That could be a person. It could be an activity. Whatever that thing is that's keeping God from being first, whatever that person, activity, keeps God from being first or keeping us from loving Him as He wants to be loved becomes an idol. Now, I want you to understand this carefully. The thing may not be wrong in and of itself. The activity may not be wrong in and of itself. That person may not be wrong in and of themselves. But when you promote them over the Lord, it becomes wrong. The earrings of gold they have is not the problem. The problem is when you take the earrings of God and make an idol out of them. That became the problem. God had no problem having the earrings of gold. Sure, go right ahead. But all of a sudden they're worshiping this golden image of the Lord, and that becomes a problem. So an idol is anything given priority over our Lord in our lives becomes an idol. So I would tell you it this way. If you can have something, for example, let's say you can go out and buy a brand new car. You have the means to do it, and you can have that car, and God can still be first place in your life. You can still love Him with all your heart. Great. But if you can't do both, which one do you think you should give up, car or God? The car. Well, Pastor White says it's wrong to have a new car. I'm not telling you it's wrong to have a new car. What I'm telling you wrong is to have a new car in place of the Lord in your life. That's what becomes wrong. So if you can have it and keep God first and love the Lord with all your heart, great. But if you can't do both, then you're going to get rid of the idol. You have to give the idol up because God wants to be first. God wants you to love Him with all your heart. Now, watch what I tell you. If you don't get rid of it, don't be surprised when God gets rid of it. God is not going to share His glory with anything. And when you start putting things above the Lord, don't be surprised when the Lord starts pushing it out of the way. And you're like, well, why can't I have that? Because you won't put the Lord in His right place while you have that. Watch what happens. Let's go back to our text, Exodus 32. Let's look a little bit later in it. Now, we're not going to give you the whole account. You can read it on your own later. But Moses does show up, and Moses puts an end to their idolatry. But one thing he does in verse 20, he took the calf. Now, remember, the calf is made out of what? Gold. And the gold came from the possessions they had, right? It was their gold, which wasn't a problem until they made it into an idol, and then it became a problem. So now they are worshiping the thing that God had given them, this gold, and they're putting it above the Lord. And watch what happens in verse 20. And he took the calf which they had made and burned it in the fire and ground it to powder and strawed it upon the water and made the children of Israel drink of it. Which means this, when all this is done, the gold is done. God took it away from them. They had it and God didn't have a problem. But when they put it above the Lord now eliminates that from their life. So I'm telling you this morning, anything that is given priority of the Lord becomes an idol, and we need to give that idol up. And if we don't give the idol up, don't be surprised when God comes along and helps you do that. Maybe does it for you. Now, let me stop the car for a moment, because there's a little overlook here. So we're going to get out and we're going to walk over to this path, little nice little overlook. We're going to talk about something off to the side for a moment. Because when we think about this putting things above the Lord, one thing that happens in people's lives Because most of the message is slanted toward those who are saved, who put their faith in Christ. If I ask you this morning, do you know you have a home in heaven? You say, yes, here's a place and a time I received Christ as my Savior. That's most of the message slanted that way. But let me tell you what is a big idol among people. I'm talking about non-believers, unbelievers. You know what one of the biggest idols is? Money! No, that's not the biggest idol. It's big, but it's not the biggest. Fun! Sinful fun things! That's a big idol, but it's not the main idol. You know what probably the biggest idol is among unbelievers? Religion. They put a religion above the Lord. Now you're thinking, scratch your head, well, isn't religion and Jesus the same thing? Absolutely not. It was the religious people who helped crucify him. When we think about going to heaven, we're not talking about just joining a church or going through some ritual or being part of some religious experience. We're talking about to come to a place and a time when you've understood that you are a sinner, guilty before a holy God. That's probably the biggest challenge to get people to understand. Because here's what they'll say. Yeah, there's a lot of sin out there. And sin is breaking God's commandments. And everyone's a sinner. But what about you? Where you stand before the Lord? Can you look in the mirror and say, buddy, if you die with your sin, you're going to spend eternity in hell? Well, no, I told you a story before. I think I probably told you all my stories. This is story 123 for the record. So I was witnessing this lady once, and I was going through the plan of salvation. Plan of salvation basically has 4 points. Okay, number one, we're sinners. Number two, because of sin, we're going to die and go to hell. Number three, Jesus died because we're sinners. He died to pay the price for our sins, but you got to accept Jesus for yourself. That's a basic four parts of the gospel. And I was going through the gospel, got all the way through, but I kind of felt like she really wasn't with me. You know, like there's a little, something's not connecting. So I said, let me back up. Let me review this with you. And I said, whatever her name was, we'll just say her name was Sarah. Oh, hey, Sarah. So we'll just say her name was Sarah. So I said, Sarah, do you understand that you have sinned against God? And here's what she said. Oh, no, not me. See, everyone else has, and sin's a bad thing. But no, I'm not guilty. And until you understand that you're guilty before a holy God, you can never be saved. You know why you get saved? Because you're guilty before a holy God. Now, typically what people do is this. Oh, I'm guilty. Let me get baptized. That's not the answer. You're guilty going in dry and you're guilty coming out wet. They didn't change anything. Say, well, I'll join a church. That's not going to change it. Jesus didn't come so you could join a church. Jesus came to pay the price which you could not pay. And the price is death. For the wages of sin is death. Jesus died in our place. You say, well, if Jesus died, we're all going to heaven. No. It'd be like me offering to pay a bill for you. Let's say you're home and all of a sudden a hiatus and sends you one of these disconnect notices. And you're like, oh man, what am I going to do? I need my electricity. And let's say Bill comes along because he's a nice guy. And Bill says, I will pay your electric bill for you. And you say, no, you ain't paying my bill. You ain't paying my bill, Bill. That's kind of redundant there. You ain't paying my bill for me. I'll pay it for myself. I'm my own person. I don't need any charity. I'll do it myself. And then your electricity gets turned off. Is that Bill's fault? No, you rejected his offer. And there's people going to hell, not because Jesus would not save them and cannot save them, but because they won't come to him to be saved. They don't want to admit that they're a wicked, filthy, vile sinner headed for hell. They want to think they're good people, that surely God will let me slide under the door and make it. Instead, we got to face the fact that we are guilty sinners and we need to come to Jesus Christ. And what I'm telling you this morning, often religion becomes an idol to the unsaved because they worship a church, they worship an experience, they worship a ritual, they worship some tradition instead of coming to Jesus Christ to be saved. They give those things priority over the Lord. And so an idol is anything given priority over the Lord. That becomes an idol. And now we're guilty of idolatry. And that's what the Lord is trying to bring to our attention. There's a second thing now we'll pull out of this text. So what is an idol? Anything given priority over God becomes an idol. There's a second thing that is an idol. Go with me back to our text, chapter 32. Look with me in verse 4. And he, that'd be Aaron, received them, this is these golden earrings and such, received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, now watch here's what they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Who brought them out of the land of Egypt? The God of the Bible. But now they're giving that to this calf. They're giving that prominence, that glory, that credit due to their idol instead of giving the credit where it belongs to the Lord Himself. So an idol is something given priority of God. And secondly, number two is this, an idol is anything given the glory due unto Him and due unto God Himself. Now, if the biggest idol is religion, now watch this. Maybe the second biggest idol among people, and this would be believers and non-believers. This is people in general. Maybe the second biggest idol that we have today is the government. We're trusting the government instead of trusting our Lord. You say, Pastor White, you hate the government? No. But the government did not save me. And it's not the government's job to keep me safe. It's God's job. Can the government help? Sure. A lot of things can help. But it's His job. And I look to Him. I'm not trusting man. When I say government, I'm whatever federal, state, local, man-made structure over me. I'm not trusting man to keep me safe and secure. Now watch what I'm about to say. This is the job. Now, I'm talking to believers here. This is the job of our Father, to keep His children safe. Can He use government? Sure He can. But He's using the government. He is using the government. It's not the government doing it. It's what God chooses to use. Let me share some verses with you that should speak to our hearts about this. In Psalms 91, watch these verses together. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say the Lord. He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. Notice the word picture here, how the Lord is trying to get us to understand the Lord's responsibility to His children. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. What I'm telling you this morning is, it is God's job to deliver us, to take care of us. And when I point to something else, whatever that structure is, and say, okay, this is going to lead me, this is going to protect me, I'm giving glory to something other than my Lord, and I'm making that into an idol. It is true that God places things in our lives to help us and to provide for us. That is completely true. I understand that. But they should never be the focus. They should never get the glory. And anytime we give the credit or the glory to anything other than God, we're making that thing or that person or that entity into an idol. God can do it with their help. Now watch this, and God can do it without their help. Because He is the one I trust in. Now, I'm not against medicine, but I don't trust the doctor, I trust the Lord. He's a great physician. I'm thankful for any human help or any human entity that God can use in my life, great. But my trust is in the Lord. You know, What would happen, Pastor White, if you lost your job tomorrow? Well, that'd probably be bad since I'm the pastor here, but let's just say, what would happen if you lose your job? That would be a problem. But you know what? I can trust my Lord. Jobs are good. Having income is good. Having means to pay your bills is a good thing. But I don't trust in the job. I trust in my Lord. And I'm not going to make an idol out of those things. So here's what I would tell you this morning. Do not And I mentioned job, and that's going to be the first thing I'm going to allude to here. Do not let your job become an idol. Work hard. It's the right thing to do. Do your best. But don't worship the job. It is the Lord who meets our needs. He can use the job. He can use something else. Here's the second thing I would say. Do not let your health become an idol. There's nothing wrong with doctors, nothing wrong with medicine, nothing wrong with exercise, nothing wrong with good diet. There's things we should do to help our health. There's things we should avoid. Yeah, that is true. There's some things we should add in. That is true. Exercise is good. We shouldn't be a couch potato, spending hours and hours on the couch, drinking soda pop and eating potato chips. That is not a good way to take care of your body. I don't think that's how we should be living. It's almost as if we're not trusting the Lord. We're just almost promoting ill health. And I don't think we ought to do that. I think we ought to try to exercise, ought to take, you know, what we need to do. But ultimately, now listen, ultimately, my life is in His hands. My life is in the Lord's hands. It doesn't matter how much exercise I'm thinking of this story. This is a guy, good guy. So there's nothing critical about what I'm saying about the guy. But the guy was very health conscious. And he was probably, I'm thinking, late 20s. He's out jogging. He was one of those kinds of guys that jog, which I never got into running. I know some people run. I don't get into running. I get into walking. I get into riding my 10-speed bike, but not running. Running never really got into that. But anyways, this guy was out running. He was in good health, good, strong guy. And all of a sudden, dropped over dead. Late 20s. Some had some weird thing going on with his heart. Dropped over dead. What I'm saying is this, ultimately, our lives in the Lord's hands. We cannot make our health into our idol. We can't make our job into our idol. We look to the Lord in these things. So do not let your job become your idol. Do not let your health become your idol. Watch this. Do not let your finances become an idol. It's good to plan. It's good to save. It's good to be frugal. There's nothing wrong with those things. There's nothing wrong with having some type of savings plan, some type of retirement, some type of budget, trying to make sure you do things well. Nothing of that is wrong. What is wrong is when, now watch this, what is wrong is when we trust the plans of savings and frugality. If you're a believer right now, and if you found out tomorrow that your savings was wiped out for some reason, and that would be the end of you, can I tell you, then your savings is your idol. Because God can take care of you with zero in the bank. I'm not against savings. I think you ought to be very frugal. I think you ought to save. I think you ought to spend less than you make. I think you ought to live by a budget. All those things are great things, but they're not God. God is God. And our focus and our confidence and the glory, the credit for these things we give to the Lord. Let me show you a verse what I mean. I need to move on to the third part here. Jesus is speaking in Luke chapter 12, and he said unto them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." We could kind of like stop right there, couldn't we? Because that's how most of us think. Well, look at me. I got a car. I got a house. I got this. I got that. But none of that really matters. Where are you at with the Lord? That's what really matters. Verse 16, he spake a parable unto them. This is Jesus now speaking. The ground of a certain man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, "What shall I do? Because I have no room where to sow my fruits." In other words, my barn is full, my attic's full, my basement's full, my garage is full, every closet's full. I got so much. What am I going to do with it? And he said, "This will I do." Great idea. Watch this great idea. "I'll pull down my barns and build bigger barns. And they'll have even more room to store stuff. And I keep pounding and keep pressing and keep shoving stuff in there. I'm going to have so much stuff." Now watch what happens. Verse 19. "And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." Got it planned out. I got the plan. It's everything's going to work out. Man, it's going to be sitting in the shade, drinking my pink lemonade. Everything's going to be great here. Verse 20. "But God said unto him." Now, when the Lord says, "Thou fool," you already know you're in trouble, right? "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God." So I'm asking you this morning about this idea about giving our idols up. I said an idol is anything that we give priority to over the Lord. Not necessarily a bad thing, but it becomes bad because we put it over the Lord. And then anything we give the glory to, the trust to, we look to, rather than looking to God, we look to that thing, my savings account, my job, my health, all the things I'm doing. That becomes an idol. And so I'd ask you this morning, is there an idol that you need to give up this morning? Let me share a third thing with you. So anything that's given prominence or priority over the Lord, anything that's given the glory that's due unto God. But what else could an idol be? Well, I see one more in our text here. In chapter 32, if you will. Look at verse 6. Let me show you the third thing. What else can become an idol? Now, this is an interesting one. And this kind of, this will leave a little mark. Verse 6. And they rose up early in the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. Everything sounds so religious, doesn't it? And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. They were not playing Monopoly. This wasn't Uno. They didn't break out the cards. Okay, I got three draw fours. I'm going to win this time. Okay, this wasn't what they're doing. This isn't they're just sitting around, you know, maybe sitting in their lawn chairs under the shade tree, you know, talking about stories when they were young. What the idea here is this, that it was Partyville. Moses is gone. We don't have to worry about God anymore. We can live the way we want. And it was party, party, party. And in a way that they're boozing it up and they're partying. They're living into themselves. It's a very, basically very sensual, very carnal way of living. How do I know that? Look at verse 7. And the Lord said unto Moses, go get thee down, for thy people which out... It's interesting because the Lord says, you brought them. Actually, it was God who did it, but God's like, I ain't taking credit for these people. You can have them. And the Lord said unto Moses, go get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, look at this end of verse 7, have corrupted themselves. That's why we know this is a sinful thing going on in verse 6. They have corrupted themselves. So what else we know about an idol? Well, it's anything given priority over God. It's anything given the glory due unto God. Now watch this. Are you ready? You know I love you. I do. But here's a good point for us. An idol is anything used to justify our disobedience to God. This is really often the real reason for our idols. So we can live how we want to live and have a reason to justify it. We know it's not right if we were doing what the Bible says. So let's find a different way of living our lives so that we can live the way we want and not have to worry what the Bible says. It's a way to justify our disobedience. An idol is really just a representation of how I want to live. Idolatry may be directed to... Now, watch this statement. Idolatry may be directed to an object, but it is a projection of the heart. Ultimately, people live how they want to live. Ultimately, that is true. I don't know how you lived this past 7 days, but I can tell you the essence of it. You lived how you wanted to live. Oh no, there's some things I didn't really want to do and I got involved in. But you really did because you got involved in them. You are a person who has a free will. You say, well, if I hadn't done it, it would have really cost me. And thus, that's why you did it. You weren't willing to pay the price. But you could have paid the price. You could have done what was right. Ultimately, people live how they want to live. And if how they want to live doesn't line up with the God of the Bible, then they create their own God to justify how they are living. So here's a test. We like tests, right? Here's a test. You can fill in the blanks however you need to fill in the blanks. I would do blank. Whatever area of obedience we're talking about. Whatever it may be in, that the Lord is speaking in your heart about right now. I would read my Bible. I would pray. I would be more faithful in church. I would live more holy. I would be an honest person. I would tell the truth. I would tell people about Jesus. Whatever that blank is, I would blank the obedience, the right thing, if it wasn't for
this. Now, whatever that this is an idol. Because that's what you're using to justify your disobedience. I would read my Bible if it wasn't for my wife. No, that's not why you don't read your Bible. Well, every time I try to read my Bible, my wife asks me a question. People have actually told me that. Or every time I try to read my Bible, my husband asks me a question. And so I get, well, you're making your spouse into your idol. Just read your Bible. I think if you did it regular, your spouse would know that and they would respect that. I would pray, but I just don't have time. Well, how much time do you spend on the internet and social media and watching TV and reading the paper and all these other things we spend our time doing? Because those things now have become an idol because you're not spending the time where you need to spend it. So really what an idol becomes then is a way we justify our disobedience. Now you fill in the blank however you need to fill in the blank, but it will reveal to you what are idols in our lives. And I would ask you this morning again, are you willing to give the idol up? My guess is this, if we had a time machine right now and went back to this time in Exodus 32, we all just got in, it was big enough for all of us, and we got into it. And now there's probably several millions of these Israelites there, and we were watching them. We're like, what are they? They're making a false god? Do you not? Moses is on the mountaintop getting the Ten Commandments. What are you doing? Don't do that. Oh, this is not going to turn out well. Oh, this is going to be bad for you guys. Don't be doing that. Oh, here comes Moses. Oh, he's grinding up the golden calf, putting in water, making them drink it. I told you not to do that. Man, that was bad. We'd all know that, wouldn't we? But yet, we don't look at our own lives that way. If we actually stepped outside of our life and looked at our life and said, what am I doing and why am I doing it? Well, man, I've made that thing into an idol, haven't I? I've made that person into an idol. I've made that activity into an idol. And I need to realize this isn't going to turn out well. I need to change some things. I need to get some idols up. Idolatry is not just a sin of those heathen natives in Africa. Rather, idolatry is a prominent sin among what we look at as religious, moral Americans. The problem in America is not primarily political. That's what we fuss over. We always fuss over the politics. But the problem in America is not primarily political. The problem in America is primarily spiritual. We have all these idols that are taking God's place. People say, where is the Lord God of Elijah? Look what's going on in our country. Lord, where are you at? He's the same place he's always been. But he's not in the right place in our lives. And that's what the problem is. Let me show you one more thing. We'll be done. Go back with me to our text, chapter 32. To me, of all these things I said, this, what I'm about to show you in just a few minutes of time, is the most convicting. Look with me at verse 4. Because I see us all over verse 4 and 5. And he received them, he again being Aaron, received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. Now, the next thing is an odd thing. He makes his calf. He builds an altar. He makes a proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast. Now, watch what it says next. To the Lord. That's capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That's the Jehovah of the Bible. Basically, he said is, tomorrow with this golden calf, we're going to worship the God of the Bible. No, you're not. But that's how they thought. In the midst of their idolatry. Now watch this. In the midst of their idolatry, the Israelites were still talking about God. But they were not worshiping God. They had the appearance of church. They had the appearance of religion. They didn't have the heart. And so here's what I'd say to you to finish out the message this morning. We need to stop being religious talking idolaters and start being obedient, surrendered believers. Today we need to decide to give our idols up. Would you bow your head and would you pray with me? Father, I pray.